And now, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Again, everybody, welcome back to the old Bob and Ray show, and let's go right over to the window, Bob, huh?
Yeah, okay. We're big talking about this window and telescope we have here.
Stop by the big Bob and Ray popcorn bowl. Have a handful.
You've got to watch that waistline, you know.
That's right. You were so correct.
We had an idea today because of the addition of this Bob and Ray 10-cent telescope that we've put up in front of the picture window. We thought maybe somebody from a studio audience, someone who has a terrific way with words, who has a good command of English language, could come up and kind of describe for the listener what he sees, because we don't talk so good. And is there anybody here who would like to look through the telescope?
I have a nice command of the English language.
All right, come on up here.
Where my smile?
Big smile and a very nice voice. Coming to our microphone now, and he's freshly shaved, or shaven, and you look at the picture of Tom Sawyer splendor, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Paul Burke is the name.
Paul, you know what we want you to do is kind of describe the thing. We have a little romantic music here. Do you want to start right now?
All right. Maybe if I use this microphone, and
yes,
then I'll...
All right. In your own words, you know.
Oh, fuzzy New York, enchanting, dreamlike in your haze, ephemeral in your mist, fog as your handmaiden. You are as obscure as a palm on a hand that's a fist.
Wait just a minute, Paul. I don't think you're seeing too much through the telescope. I better put a dime in.
Oh, all right, Paul.
There we are. Okay, Paul, go ahead now.
Oh, swing, eye of time, swing through the precise air. Bring me a sight. Perceive me a vision of concrete canyons, vast vault valleys, bending to the will of the wheel, of flickering lights that hold multitudes.
Guess you're looking at some pedestrians trying to cross the street, huh?
Helter-skelter they run, a million menials, pelted by a welter of chrome and tail finials.
Well, that's enough for that, Paul. I think you'd better swing the telescope around for some other color commentary. How about that direction there?
All right, Deathfire. A graceful ribbon spirals, turning here, turning there, stopping only to bisect itself occasionally, only to continue on toward the black obscurity. Her back burdened by the weight of angry steel, and the mist that settled once before comes back like a pall. I see unclearly, but...
Paul, I think what happened here, your dime is used up. That's just as well. I don't think people care much about the approach to the Holland Tunnel.
Okay,
Bob. Okay, now let's do the telescope and do something interesting this time, will you?
Oh, seller of newspapers hawking your wares, communicator of worldly affairs, sell your papers, my good man. Sell them for a nickel or a dime.
Oh, no good, Paul. Try swinging it to the left, will you?
Okay, Bob. Oh, man with a top hat and a whip, elegant to cadence, your face lined with a thousand good times past, your future a montage of merriment. Though fop you may be.
Wait, let me look through that.
Okay, Bob.
Let me take a look here. That's not a fop. He drives a handsome cab. Paul, I think I've spotted a nice thing for you to poetize, though. Take a look here.
All right. Oh, perfidious, hideous clock. You beckon time twice with two hands. Oh, evil reminder with your gears and mechanisms.
That's right, Paul. Time's about up.
Oh, rotten timepiece with your malevolent numbers. Would it that I were able to fly. I would hold your hands and prevent you.
Oh, come on.
All right, Bob.
Paul, thanks for
carrying... You have a nice flow of language?
Yes, you do, but I don't know whether it's really fit or not. But thanks for your color description of New York City, and come back again when free verse is more popular. I think it'll go over better at that time. And thank you for the music, Mr. Music. That's very nice accompanying over there.
And would you move along now to that documentary-type music, Pierre, please?
If you would, I'd appreciate it. Friends, we've done it again, haven't we?
Yes.
The Bob and Ray Overstock warehouse is bulging at the seams once more.
And inestimable damage to our financial resources, we have managed to purchase 1,217 sets of genuine brass door chimes.
We are able to wheel and deal them to conclude this transaction successfully, and it was in itself a coup, comparable to the purchase of old Manhattan Island from the Indians, we think.
So reluctant were the brass door chime people to let their merchandise go that as we were leaving with the genuine brass door chimes, we were roundly booed by the rank and file of the company.
To this day, we still receive threatening phone calls from the president of the company, who murmurs dark promises of revenge and suit.
Now, that's how excellent these genuine brass door chimes are, friends.
However, the new foreman of the door chime company turned out inexplicably to be tone deaf. Before this shortcoming was discovered, the aforementioned 1,217 sets of door chimes were produced.
So, the chimes are, in the mildly fashionable way, a bit off-key. And that's why we're offering them to you at a price so low, it can't even be mentioned on the air.
That's right. We're afraid of surging crowds and the attendant tramplings that go with them.
So, under separate cover, we intend to mail out the price to the anxious thousands of folk who will surely want some idea of what these genuine brass door chimes will cost.
But before you make up your mind, we want you to listen to a set of these genuine brass door chimes.
Think we ought to let them, Bob? We'll have to hire special police to beat off the crowd staring at the heel of the studio.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have to risk that, Ray.
All right.
You press the button that sets off the chimes, please.
Okay.
And there they are, Fred.
Folks, apart from the obvious advantages of owning such a set of door chimes, we'd like to outline a few of what we call astral assets.
Which means benefits not readily discernible to the eye.
Just think, when the chimes are set off, no more birds.
Those pesky insects you have around the house will flow out in a never-ending spree.
Those cats who've been ravaging the garbage at night will sail out of earshot.
You'll be able to make new friends with these door chimes.
That's right. Once the distinctive and compelling sound of the chimes is heard, people by the hundreds will flock to your door to find out what's going on.
Or, for those of you of an introspective persuasion, the door chimes can be used to keep away those unwanted and unexpected Sunday afternoon visitors. All you have to do is turn the chimes on.
And for you fashion models out there who enjoy featuring the skinny sick look,
Ring the chimes and you'll do what we just did.
Turn pale.
Really something you should all be with and shouldn't be without.
Now that's right. We went to a peck of trouble getting these genuine brass door chimes.
So write to us, care of Brassy CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York City, for our under separate cover prices.
And write on your postcard, awesomely low priced door chimes.
And we'll know what you mean.
I wonder if I could audition for Mary today.
Mary isn't here, but she has authorized me to listen.
I've been practicing singing with the Smoky Valley Boys. I haven't got a complete song down yet.
Well,
Put it on tape or something and play it for her?
All right, we could do that. We could arrange to tape it, sure.
All right, you ready, Romeo and...
Pie Plant there.
Pie Plant and Rhubarb Bread and...
The other text.
The other text and another one there. There's supposed to be another one. I forget his name. What's your name, new fella?
Hildreth.
Hildreth, yes. That's a form of the complete aggregation. Give us that number 213 in the book, so I'll give you a little idea. It's just a vamp here, see, like.
Well, I know, but you've always
heard this before.
Right, but now we want to hear the song part, you know.
All right. There was blood on the best whips.
There what?
Oh, wait.
I was trying to do blood on the saddle.
Oh, you can't be doing that.
I just never know when to jump in.
There was.
Oh, there's more of it. Coming up.
I think, wait a minute.
I think this.
I'll give you a signal.
Okay, come on.
Go, right here.
There was blood.
No, wait, hold it.
No.
I don't think
San Antone. All right.
Cut it out.
Oh, I got to practice that with you guys. I think it's that new fella. Hildreth?
Yeah?
You ever played in a Western band before?
Yes, I did.
Well, which one?
Lawrence Welk.
Well, I got to get with you at the rehearsal tomorrow and see if we can straighten the thing out.
Okay.
Well, we...
I've been drinking.
Well, we discussed the... merits of their band. I don't think this is the act that we wound up in Mary's house.
Did you get it on tape, though, Joel, in case she wants to hear it tomorrow?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Welcome to This Place for Heroes. Dramatized events in the lives of ordinary citizens who never gave in, but waged a fight against unfairness, duplicity, and corruption. Today's dramatization concerns the fearless small-town newspaper editor, Fred John Wassell, whom we'll meet after our story.
Ellis, how's this for an editorial? It's time Turnberg stood up to them. 3 years ago, Turnberg was a good town. Then they came. A trickle of evil men at first. We didn't know then what they were up to, but we soon found out.
Oh, Fred, those men will come around again if you print that.
Yeah. Turnberg, with a population of 1,210 people, had 3 jukeboxes in it 4 years ago. Now we've got 1,700 jukeboxes in Turnberg. More than one to a person. Now,
I'll see who it is, Fred.
No, you better let me get that, Alice. Who is it?
Better open up, Wassell. It's me, Fist Faraday.
Alice, go home. You'll be safe there. Go through the back.
But what about you, Fred?
Do as I say, Alice. Do you think I'd like to go home, too? I'm no glory seeker. Just doing a nasty job. The job that has to be done. Now, please go.
All right, Fred.
See you later.
Open up, Wassell, or I'll just tear this joint apart.
Door's open, Faraday. Come on in.
Hello, small man. I understand you're writing another thing about me today.
Faraday, I'm going to tell you something. Your kind stinks. You know what you are? You're some kind of maniac from the Stone Age. You're from another world. You decided to make the trip here by sewer. Now you've arrived covered with a stench of corruption. Faraday, your world is fast disappearing. Your world of muscle weakens more each day, and I can help the atrophy along with words. That's right, Faraday. Let your epitaph read, "He was stricken by a typewriter."
And that was the courageous stand taken by editor Fred John Wassell. And now I'm sure you all want to meet the real Mr. Wassell. Sir, I'd like you to say hello to the many fans you've made with your magnificent display of nerve.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
I understand the wire was removed from your jaw yesterday, Mr. Wassell.
That's right. And I'm glad it was, too. Alice is teaching me to walk again. Now I can tell her to stop when I get tired.
But all this that's happened to you, Mr. Wassell, it really isn't important. The important thing is that what the jukebox situation is like back in Turnberg these days, right? That's what we'd like to hear about.
Well, I understand they put 7 jukeboxes in my newspaper office. I really don't see how I'll get around the office with all that crowding.
And your wife, Alice, tells me that you have to put in your own money and whatever it is in the machine has to be turned over to Faraday.
That's the understanding, yes.
Fred John Wassell, there isn't much I can say. You've said it all for us in words and in deed. You're a hero, and this is the place for heroes. Here on This Place for Heroes.
And that's it for now.
We'll be back to preview tomorrow's lucky musical note in just 10 seconds.
Here it is, B flat. And until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb. Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.